Good evening, everybody. So good to have everyone with us. Good to have a full row of visitors up front. It's been a good day. This evening, I want us to talk about fellowship. The illustration that I have on this first slide, several centuries ago, preachers used to illustrate fellowship with a wagon wheel or a buggy wheel and the spokes in it. We aren't too familiar with that, but I thought a bicycle wheel would be a good illustration. We have on the left hand a place where fellowship is, it doesn't exist. It's disjointed. But each of these spokes represents a fellow. They all come together to the central hub, and we have fellowship all connected to that central hub on a wheel, a wagon wheel, a buggy wheel, a bicycle wheel. Now, if we were to go to a bicycle shop and want to buy a bicycle, and they said, I got one for you in the back room, and they rolled it out, and both of the tires were like the ones on the left, we would say, uh-uh, that's not going to work. We don't want that. That's broken. We don't want a bicycle like that. Well, John said in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. John uses that same little word that we were talking about Peter using this morning, if. If you have any questions about what I'm presenting tonight, please ask me. If you disagree with something, and I'll be glad to study with you. So it brings up the question, what is fellowship and what is it based on? Some people say that anybody that wears the name Christian, we have fellowship with them. Some say anybody that's a member of the Church of Christ, we have fellowship with them. Anybody that has been baptized, we have fellowship with them. But does the Bible teach that? And where do we draw that circle of fellowship? Again, as we've been going through and looking at the teaching of Paul, with all of his warnings about going away from the doctrine and the good doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, that is where fellowship gets broken. So fellowship with God and others is based on obedience to truth. It's not based on friendship, if we like this person or not. We could like somebody but not have fellowship with them. 2 John 1:6, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it. In 2 John 1:9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares his evil deeds. So again, doctrine plays a big part in fellowship. And friend, when somebody holds out the hand of fellowship to someone outside of that circle of Bible fellowship, he is showing some endorsement of error. That's true whether we hold out the hand of fellowship to the Baptists here in town or any of these other groups here in town, then we would be endorsing some error. Not just with denominations, but outside that circle of Bible fellowship. So then the question becomes, how far is someone going and why does he stop where he does? Some brethren, they will endorse, they'll pamper, they'll protect false teachers, false brethren, and then wonder why unity isn't attained. Some will say, I don't want to drive them further away from the church of the Lord. But friend, that person is already away, and he will never be restored to the Lord except by the truth, by the gospel. So we have to preach the whole counsel of God. We have to look at what the whole Bible says. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, when he talks about what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, my mind automatically goes back to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 20, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? So these people that are coming to Jesus, these were religious people. They were doing all kinds of things for Jesus. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What is lawlessness? Some translations say iniquity. Lawlessness is acting without law. It's acting without authority. So what fellowship, back to 2 Corinthians 6:14, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship exists with someone that is following the law, with someone that is not following the law? There is no fellowship. So fellowship is a sharing in common, a partnership, a participation. And as we're talking about it with the church, it's in spiritual matters. The world will talk about fellowship, coming together for a meal, having a good time. You might belong to a club, a group, and you have fellowship with each other. But whenever it's used in the Bible, it's always in reference to spiritual matters. Fellowship means we share common principles, actions, and spiritual matters. So, are we in fellowship with each other? Are we in fellowship with God? As long as we remain in fellowship with God, it's hard for us not to be in fellowship with each other. If we are in fellowship with God, we are in fellowship with each other. But the question is, again, what is fellowship, and how can I tell if I'm in fellowship with God? So back to this example, very old example of a wheel and the spokes. And a lot of times when these spokes are not connected to the hub, when these fellows, when these men, when these sisters are not connected to God's word, what are they connected to? They are connected to some man's word. They're acting without authority, without law. They're following what some man said instead of what God said. And friend, I will accept God's word over man's opinion any and every time. When we have a choice to make, whose word are we going to accept? Man's word or God's word? So fellowship then is more than just wearing the name Christian. Fellowship is more than just being a member of the Church of Christ. Fellowship is more than just being baptized. And I'd like to start off with to consider some of those more things that fellowship is, where we are fellows together in the work of the Lord. So one of the first things to consider is we are fellow servants. we understand that from Matthew 20. Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. The vineyard is one of the descriptions of the kingdom of heaven being the church. The kingdom, if we are in the kingdom of heaven, we have to be servants. If we aren't servants, if we aren't working together, we aren't having fellowship together. It's as simple as that. Fellow servants, fellowship in the kingdom. Well, the Bible talks about other fellows. We are fellow citizens. Fellow citizens. John 18, 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." So if we want to have fellowship with each other, we need to be fellow citizens in the kingdom. This one gets a little bit fuzzier because Peter tells us that we are to be a peculiar people. We are not to blend in with this world. We are to be different than this world. But so many people want to blend in, and you would think that they are a fellow citizen of the world instead of a fellow citizen in the kingdom. What do I mean by blending in? They look like, they talk like, they dress like, they engage in things that the citizens of this world engage in. Some of those things there's nothing wrong with. But then we have to remind ourselves that we are not of this world. And the danger in that is the more we engage in some of these activities, the more we lose our identity as a citizen in the kingdom of God. Well, we are also fellow builders. What are we building? So with each of these, the only person I'm thinking about and talking about right now is myself. I have to ask myself, am I a servant in the kingdom? If I want to have fellowship with God, if I want to have fellowship with other people in the kingdom, I've got to be a servant. I've got to be working. I've got to be busy doing what God wants me to do. I've got to be a citizen in the kingdom. I have to recognize that Christ is my King. And that is such a blessing that we have, because when we recognize that, we don't get caught up in the news and the distractions that's going on. When you hear about this power doing something and this power doing something, again, as Ryan was saying Wednesday night, that's part of the 80% that's out of our control. We don't need to get caught up in the part of our life that is out of control, but we need to be in touch with the one that controls everything. And I need to be a builder. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. So you think about this. The church is described as a building. We are living stones that make up this building. There is an architect that designed this building, the church, not this physical building. There was one that designed this physical building, which you can see the parallel to the architect that designed the spiritual building, the church. He had a blueprint for it, a pattern for it. We have the warning from Hebrews, see that you make everything according to the pattern. That goes back to the Old Testament. That's always been what God has wanted us to do, is follow the pattern. Verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will burn up one's work of what will test one's work of what sort it is. And I didn't check before I came up here. I used to have that track up here, the One True Church, and you unfold it, and it's got that big long list of churches. And what foundation was that built on? Men. Every one of them was built on a foundation of a man. And what's going to happen to all those churches? They're going to be burned up. Their work is going to be revealed by fire. It's not going to stand the fire test. We're all going to go through a fire test. So we are fellow servants, fellow citizens, fellow builders, fellow workers in this fellowship that we have together. And when we think about fellow workers, going to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 1, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Fellow workers, am I a fellow worker? If I want to have fellowship with God, if I want to have fellowship with other Christians, I have to be a worker. I can't, as some people say, join the church and then just sit down and twiddle my thumbs. Can't do that. I've got to be busy. I've got to be working. I want to be in fellowship. I want to be in fellowship. If we aren't working, we are not in fellowship. Well, this is a list of things we might not consider to include in fellowship, but it's a big part of fellowship. But it doesn't end there. We are fellow pilgrims. All of us, and I hope as you see this, as we all have these roles as servants, citizens, builders, workers, pilgrims, it's going to bring us closer together instead of farther apart, as long as we are doing these things according to the doctrine of Christ. 2 Peter 2:11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. So this idea of pilgrims, we're just passing through. We aren't citizens here. Where's our citizenship? Our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And as I was saying this morning, we should be looking for our king to come back. We should be like the prodigal son's father, watching for him to return. We should be watching for Christ to return. We should be looking for that, because that's what our life is all about. It's not about what we can accomplish here for a short time on this earth. It's getting our life right so that we can spend eternity in our eternal reward instead of an eternal punishment. I beg you. So this is a problem. I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Satan doesn't want us to have fellowship with God, and he's going to bring everything at us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He wants us not to be transformed, but Satan wants us to be conformed to the world. And some of these things, it is obvious to see, I believe, where people don't understand or grasp this. And one of the easiest places to see this is on social media. And you can see posts that Christians put on there. They are dressed immodestly. They are engaged in activities that would raise an eyebrow. Is this something that's going to honor God? I was telling Carol the other day, I said, I've got to watch what I say about, I haven't heard a sermon on this in so long, since the only sermons I've been hearing are the ones that I've been preaching. But when is the last time you've heard a sermon on dancing? You know, when I was growing up, that was a regular sermon you'd hear every year. We don't even talk about that anymore. But then I see people posting their children in dance class dressed immodestly, and somebody will say, but Bruce, they're just a little child. They don't have thoughts like that. But what are you teaching them? What are you teaching your child when you put them in a class and they are missing half their clothes and you're showing approval to that, and then they get older? How are you going to say, but honey, it was okay all of this time, but now we can't do this? You see, what's happening is this lust of the flesh, the lust of the world, it's getting a hold on Christians that are not in fellowship with God's word, with dress, with dancing, with drinking. Those social things that are out there that people engage in, and someone might say, well, I don't participate in that. Well, do we speak out against that? Because silence is showing that we approve of some of those things. So fellow pilgrims, we're fellow pilgrims, and we all got to remind each other, doesn't matter what we have, what we wear, what we drive, what kind of house we live in, and there's nothing, again, wrong with people having nice things, nothing wrong at all, but that's not our focus, because we're just passing through. And you stop and think about the older I get, and it's just more of a realization how much time I spent taking care of my family, but trying to get those things, and then realizing I could have been spending more of that time doing more for God, doing more for God. So we got to find a balance, and we need to teach our children while they're young the right priorities. Well, we need to be fellow watchmen. We need to be fellow watchmen. Ezekiel 33:7. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. This is something else. We've stopped warning people about sin. We've stopped saying, this is right, this is wrong. We've just stopped warning people on that. I have to ask myself, am I warning people? Now, I want to do that in a loving way. And with all of these things, our goal isn't to say, well, you're out of fellowship, so I can't associate with you. But the goal is to say, we want you to be in fellowship with God. I want to be in fellowship with you, but I'm sorry, I can't be in fellowship with you if I'm trying to be in fellowship with God and you're following the words of men instead of the doctrine of God. We do it out of love. We don't do it to pick sides. We point these things out because we want people to be saved. We want people to be fellow citizens and builders and workers and watchmen and servants and fellows together in heaven. Well, we are also, when we think about fellowship, we are fellow soldiers. And this is a fellow, this is a spoke in the wheel, again, that people don't talk about too much. 2 Timothy 2:4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So again, we are in a war. What is that war? It's a war between good and evil. Satan is after us. And when we are in this war, we do not want to become entangled with the affairs of this life. Now, we have to be engaged in them, but we do not want to get them entangled in them. Because our goal is to please Christ and please the one who enlisted us as a soldier. Now, We sing songs, Soldiers of Christ Arise, Onward Christian Soldier. Those come to me off the top of my head. I'm sure there's a lot more that we sing about soldiers. Some of you have been in the military. And when you're in the military, and again, looking at it from a worldly viewpoint, the whole idea of the military has changed so much. But when you're in the army, when you're a soldier, you have an enemy. You have an enemy, and your objective when you're a soldier in the army is to overpower the enemy. Well, some of our brethren claim to be soldiers, but they have not shot a gun at the enemy in years. Whether it's talking about a denominational organization or someone in the church, they claim it'll hurt people's feelings and make them mad, and they won't come to church again. You know, we don't even need to talk about those things. Friends, if we are a soldier of Christ, we are going to have to speak out. I know several people that carry guns, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I would think that any of those people that I know, it would be silly if they carried a gun and they never had any ammunition in it to use. You know, we have God's word, the sword, and we're doing battle with Satan. Our battle isn't against one another. Our battle is against evil. It's against Satan. But we use this sword to do battle. Some church members are more afraid of hurting the feelings of some institutional friends, denominational neighbors, and they regard their friendship and love above that of God, in whose army they claim to be fighting. And you think about that. You think about that from a military standpoint. And if a soldier in the United States Army, United States military, was out in a battlefield, and, well, I like that guy, he's the enemy, but I like him, I'm not going to do anything. So I have to ask myself, you have to ask yourself, do you belong to this group? Then you can claim you're in fellowship with God. Can you claim you're in fellowship with God when you refuse to teach the gospel to those who are the Lord's enemies, who are not only building on the sand, but spending their time and talent cultivating human plants or human churches that Christ states shall be rooted up? Again, that goes back to the list of churches that men have built. That goes back to those works that men are building today, those church organizations, and again, you see, you go back, you look at the apostasy in the United States, and you can just put your finger on the timeline, and you know where that is. 1845, the American Christian Missionary Society with Alexander Campbell, and that was the great divide in this country in the Lord's church. Those that supported missionary societies, those that did not. About 10 years later, they brought in the instrument of music. There was people that objected to that. It was taken out. It was brought back in. And you stop and think about this, like we were talking this morning, when God created the earth and man and woman, his laws were real simple. Don't eat of the fruit of that tree. But when that sin took place, then sin grew and multiplied. And then by the time you get down to Moses and the Ten Commandments, you had Ten Commandments and then another 100 laws, because people had perverted God's law to begin with. But they're building on the sand. So you had the American Christian Missionary Society, you had the instrumental music, then the late 1800s, what did we have? We had the Civil War. and the country was torn apart. People were left homeless. People were orphans. And what developed? The social gospel. And again, the widow's home on Fifth Street in Dayton was founded right after the Civil War for widows of the Civil War. And then the church got involved in that. And you see, there are all of these organizations that the church has gotten involved in, but there's no authority for it. And people might say, but this is such a good work. Friends, it's not a good work, again, unless we can put our finger on it in God's word and say this is where he wants us to do. So when we hold out the hand of fellowship to someone outside the circle of Bible fellowship, he is showing some endorsement of error. Whether it's, again, a denomination in town or a church in the brotherhood that has strayed from the truth. The question we asked earlier, how far is he going? Why does he stop where he does? Why do some churches, they start off on the word and then they move away from it and they keep going farther and farther? Why do they stop where they do? That's a valid question. The question to ask before that is, why did you move away from this point right here? But why did you choose to stop here? If you can stop here, why can't you go on out and then stop here? And why can't you go on out and stop down there? Again, sometimes it's their relationship with others that they associate with, and they have a stronger attachment to those outside of the Lord's church than those in. Some will say, I don't want to drive them further from the church and the Lord. But we got to understand, they are already away from the Lord, and what they need most is the truth. They're never going to be saved if we don't speak up and say what the truth is. So where do we draw the circle of fellowship? Back to 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So some people will say, well, I draw the circle of anybody that calls themselves a Christian. Some say, I'll draw the circle anybody that says they're a member of the Church of Christ. I'll draw the circle of any church that doesn't have a instrument of music because that was under the old law, or they don't have a kitchen, or you can, when you start going back to what, where do you want to draw it? If you get away from where God draws it, you can draw it anywhere you want to. And it's sad. And then like some denominations, and like as Carol has mentioned over and over, growing up in the denomination that she did, they would have a convention and change it every year. They would change it when a group would get together to decide what they were going to do. Friends, the decisions has already been made for us what we were to do. God has spelled it out. It's just a matter of, are we going to do it? But then when people are confronted with the facts, and I mentioned this earlier, the Pilate syndrome. You know, they brought Jesus before Pilate, and Pilate couldn't find anything wrong with him. Pilate didn't want to do this because it would upset these people, or do this, it would upset this group. And he said, I'm just going to wash my hands of the whole matter. Friends, we can't be neutral with Christ. We can't be neutral with the truth. But we see that with people that have been in the church for years. And they will not take a stand. They can get by with that in a congregation, but there's going to be a day where we are going to have to answer for the stand that we took or the stand that we didn't. Matthew 27:24. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And there are things that go on in the church, and people would say, I'm just going to wash my hands. Friends, that's not going to cut it. So if we want to have fellowship with God, we must warn the lost. Whether it's a denomination farthest away from God's word, or if it's a relative in the Church of Christ that is going astray, if we want fellowship with God, we must warn the lost, because our fellowship starts with God. That spoke going back to that wheel. And then and only then can we have fellowship with someone else. If we want fellowship with God, we must warn the lost. And if a man will hear the word of God and will believe that Jesus is the Christ and will forsake his sins and confess the Savior and be baptized for the remission of sins, then he comes into fellowship with God. And in coming in fellowship with him, he comes in fellowship with all of God's children. And that's one of the greatest blessings that there is. And when we get to travel a little bit, going to some of the congregations that supports me, that is one of the greatest blessings, is having this family that want to be a part of preaching the truth. So this person, when he comes in fellowship with God's children, then he lives the life of work, love, and sacrifice while in this life with the promise of a home in the city of God. He becomes that fellow servant, that fellow citizen, that all of those fellows that make up that fellowship. But like John said, we have fellowship if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. So the question then is, are you walking in the light? Are you walking in fellowship with God? And fellowship is one of those things, again, it's like dancing. We don't talk about it. We need to talk about it. Fellowship is one of the sweetest things that there is that we can enjoy in this life, one of the sweetest blessings that we have, when it is based on God's word. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that is out of fellowship with God and wants to be baptized, to be added to the church and walking in fellowship, if there's any way we can assist you, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.